have it on in the background, but let me just turn it off. Hang on. I really like to watch the history of Ebert and Siskel.
Yeah, now why is it, what is it you find about Life Itself that's a little, what do you think? I mean, it's, because you don't think it's honest enough? It seems to be
very
honest.
I think it's a really fantastic portrayal of him, and there's so much I admire. Are we recording?
Yes, we are.
Okay. There's so much I admire about Ebert and Ebert's legacy, and a lot of that is that I've grown up with him. I was a teenager when his show came on, and I watched him on the web. I followed him very closely,
right,
doing my website, because I followed the handful of critics who affected the Oscar race early, like starting in 1999 when I started my site.
Yep.
And I've watched how that has changed, how film criticism has changed, mainly because everybody is now a film critic. Like, literally, it used to be a joke to say everybody is a film critic, but literally everybody is a film critic.
Yeah.
And Ebert changed. He saw that, and he never was going to just be another critic. And his whole career evolved in a different direction, in a much more valuable direction. But I was surprised to see how important he was to Martin Scorsese, for instance. Like, when he first saw Who's That Knocking on My Door, and he said that Scorsese was going to be one of the most important directors, or that he was going to be America's Fellini in 10 years, and he encouraged him, you know, and that is something that is so valuable, to have one person recognize your work and to, you know, motivate you and support you and nurture your talent. I just see so little of that now.
Yeah.
But I see a lot more tearing down than I do encouraging, and a lot more sort of like fanning the flames of fandom, you know, the whole fanboy mentality of like, yeah, J.J. Abrams.
Who are the lovers out there that are like Roger in the sense that they like to give some real love to certain people that they really admire? Like Matt Solar Sites does that, I think. He's got a compassionate sensibility. And I guess David Poland has done that a couple of times.
I don't know if he has. I know I have very specifically tried to nurture along like Ava DuVernay and Ben Zeitlin and people like that, to try to encourage them early.
You're the one that turned me on to Ava DuVernay. You told me to make, go see Middle of Nowhere, and that really opened me up all of a sudden.
Right. I don't think of myself as a critic, but I do think of myself as someone who's into advocacy, and especially with people like that that I see who have promise, you know, and I kind of got that from Ebert. And you know, Todd McCarthy sort of that way with Clint Eastwood, and you know, a very like a certain critic will appreciate and nurture a talent that they see that no one else perhaps sees. But I think, like, what if Ebert hadn't been there when Scorsese was just starting out? What if he hadn't had that kind of strong support from somebody so popular as Ebert? You know, would he have been given, you know, the kind of respect that he got over the years? I don't know. I mean, maybe. But that's the power of what film criticism can do.
Could do. Yeah.
Yes. I mean, we're never going to run out of people saying shitty things about movies and pointing out when they're bad.
Right.
You know, when people write me on Twitter, one of the things I love to do is disagree with this consensus, just to see what people do. And they get so mad, you know. It's like, I'm trying to tell you to not waste your money.
Yeah.
You know? Really? That's what you're trying to do? Trying to tell me to save $12, $15 at the box office? Really?
Right.
I should go spend it at Starbucks instead? So, anyway.
Well. So, we're talking about, the reason I called you is because you were talking about political correctness in the receiving of a film called Get On Up, a biography of James Brown by Tate Taylor, director, starring Chadwick Boseman. And no one that you know or I know has seen it, so we're really obviously talking with our heads inside a bag, but we have seen the trailer, and if you could explain initially, just to get the conversation going, what do you mean by perceptions of, you know, politically correct perceptions as far as this film is concerned?
Well, you know, I feel kind of two ways about it. Like, I understand where you're coming from, which is, yeah, it does seem like a movie aimed at white audiences about a black character, you know. So Spike Lee would call that appropriating a black story for white sensibility. But what I really meant by what I was writing was, it wasn't so much that, was that you know, we just live in this weird politically correct era where people just attack movies for not being exactly bright in that way. You know, not, it's not directed by a black man, therefore this movie is completely worthless, you know. Mm. Which is probably going to happen to that movie. Whether or not it's deserved, I don't know. I can't speak to that because I haven't seen it. But
well, we have to at least open ourselves to the distinct possibility that even if Chadwick Boseman appears to be too much of a white friendly type of actor to play a guy who was really really feverish and intense and not necessarily white friendly like the real James Brown, he might do a balls up kick ass job. You know, I would love it if he really does a good job with it. So you know.
Right. So we're basically having two discussions here. One is, you know, is the movie going to be good? Is he going to be good? Is it going to be worthy of Oscars? Hold on a second. Pause, because I have to. My TV didn't turn off, and now it's just playing.
Okay.
So the one discussion is the movie going to be good enough? Is it going to be good? Is Tate Taylor going to really do a good job with the movie? And is that performance going to be convincing as James Brown? Mm-hmm. You're saying the guy's too pretty, and it's probably not going to be that convincing. But what I was more talking about was, it doesn't matter how good it is if it gets hit with the politically correct bus, if people start saying that that it's a whitewash, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. That it's, you know, that it's a white guy telling a black story. And can white filmmakers ever be given that opportunity, and will people accept the movies that they make?
Well, I'll tell you what, if one particular white filmmaker was making the had directed this movie, I would be completely open to it, and that's Scorsese. If he had done it, I wouldn't have any worries about it being too much of a white person's thing, would you, knowing Scorsese as you do?
Well, no, it's a good point, I guess, yeah. I don't think people look at it like that with Scorsese. I think he transcends that political correctness. You know, some directors do. They're just that good, you know. But Tate Taylor got hit really hard with that with The Help, because The Help was not only a white person directing it and writing it.
Yeah.
It was really what people consider to be a very condescending look at black characters in the film, and also black modern day black community. You know, they were upset that here we are in 2010 or whatever it was, and black women are still playing maids, you know.
Yeah.
So it got hit really hard with the politically correct bus, even though it made over $100 million. And even though it was the only movie, or one of a very small handful of films that even had black characters in them at all.
Sure.
So it's such a weird, loaded topic, you know. You really do feel both ways about it. On the one hand, it's great that they have Viola Davis and Octavia Spencer, you know, being nominated for Oscars. And it's great that that's a story about them. Mm-hmm. But it's also kind of a drag that they're playing maids, and that, you know, Tate Taylor is a Southern guy telling this story. So, you know, The Help was basically not politically correct enough for the black community and not politically correct enough for the white community. And, you know, at the end of the day, the only people who really suffer from that is our black actors, because they can't get work because white people are making the movies. And if white people can't make movies about black characters, you know, then they don't get work.
To be honest, I think that if I were the producer, if I were Brian Grazer and I were producing this, Mick Jagger, by the way, is also a producer on this film, along with Tate Taylor and two others, Victoria Perman and Erica Huggins. You know, Mick Jagger, he knows something about rock music. He certainly is an admirer of James Brown from way back. But if I were them, I would probably, you know, to protect the commerciality of this film, I probably wouldn't go too black on the casting. I just don't know about Chadwick Boseman. That's all I'm saying.
I mean, you look at the other movie that this movie's obviously clearly trying to emulate. It's even the same studio, isn't it? Universal.
Yeah.
And right. They also did Ray, right?
Correct. Yes.
So they're really going after that. I think they, you know, they're sort of modeling this whole thing after Ray, which was nominated for Best Picture, Best Director, directed by Taylor Hackford, a white man.
Yeah.
And starring Jamie Foxx, who won Best Actor.
Right.
But Jamie Foxx Jamie Foxx's performance was just off the hook. I mean, it was so good.
Yeah.
His Ray Charles was just, you know, breathtaking.
Mm-hmm.
It did kind of transcend any discussion of race, I thought. And I don't think that anybody was really complaining because, again, as Spike Lee points out, the one thing white audiences like about black stories are if they're musicians or if they're sports players. You know, they can definitely...
Right.
But if you start talking about race or racism at all, that's where they can get into trouble.
I'll quote here just to give some voice to the doubts about Chadwick Boseman. There's a really bright commenter named Anna Zed, who calls herself Anna Zed on my site. And she basically said, as you say, physically, James Brown, she said she actually knew him. And his bombastic personality and absolutely unmistakable personal style, not to mention his checkered personal life, don't seem like they would really lend themselves to this kind of glossy wash.
Yeah.
As you say, he was a very dark-skinned black man, intensely muscular and frenetic, thick-necked and small, not Matt Damon idol material at all, or even lead singer style for that period, who just burst past all these qualities that might have seemed to have hindered his appeal by sheer force of will, fantastic charisma, unstoppable originality as a musical stylist, and an almost psychotic belief in himself like Muhammad Ali.
That's really brilliant piece of writing there. That's right.
Chadwick Boseman is lithe and handsome, but sort of winsome and sweet and non-threatening. I see none of this, none of Brown's qualities in him. Brown was personally and politically intimidating, and people were genuinely either enthralled or shocked or both throughout his entire career.
So, yeah.
Anyway.
And you just have to watch a clip of James Brown to get that.
Yeah.
You know, he's one of those, I mean, he was one of a kind. And I agree with you that the casting is light on that. Like, they didn't seem to capture... That's nothing new in Hollywood, though, of course. We know this.
Yeah.
Christ, they'll probably get Jennifer Lawrence to play, you know, Janis Joplin. It's like...
Well, she wouldn't be too bad. I would trust her to be good at that, actually. She's pretty good.
Yeah, actually, she might be able to go there, truthfully, yeah.
So, I love that Gone Girl trailer, by the way. Don't you?
Isn't that fantastic?
I really love it. I mean, it's really... I said, wow, this is going to be good right away. You can tell it's tight and well assembled, and it's the cuts are just long enough, a little bit of exposition, and I was amazed how appealing all of a sudden, for the first time in his life, and maybe the last time in his life, that Tyler Perry is. He's actually... I said, oh, he's. I like him all of a sudden, you know, and he's been bothering me his entire life. So
the funny thing about Gone Girl is that a lot of people think that, who haven't read the book, like most women have read the book, but a lot of men cover movies. 90% of the coverage of film is men.
Yeah.
They didn't read it because they thought it was like an Oprah, you know, kind of a chick lit sort of a, you know, thriller about a woman who's murdered by her husband, but. The book is, if you've ever read anything by this writer, by Gillian Flynn, you know what kind of diabolical mind she has. I mean, she's an incredible writer, and her book is so funny. Like, if you only read the first half, which most people do, you're like, you know, and as I was reading it, I was thinking, this is okay, but I don't think I'm going to be able to stick with it. You know, it's like, it just seems like a typical, and then it completely flips. Completely flips the story in the book, and you're just like, whoa.
Did you read it on your own volition? Are you part of a book club of some sort? Or
I think that's what people thought of it, think of it as. That's why I think your people are going to be surprised when they see the movie, if the movie is faithful to the book, because it's like, which I'm sure it will be, knowing it'd be David Fincher, why else would he take it on, you know? But it's going to be interesting to see how people react to it. I was just starting to write a piece about this, about, you know, it's going to put feminism to the test. It's really going to put women to the test because a woman wrote it, and it's about, spoilers for your listeners, if they don't want to hear this, if they haven't read the book and they don't want to know anything about it, then please don't keep listening.
Maybe you shouldn't say anything.
I'm just going to tell you, because I've already talked to you.
Well, I'll turn off the recorder then. Hang on.
Oh, all right, but it's the book. I mean,
Yeah, I know, but most people say, even if it's out there, even if, say, it's a movie about a news event, let's say, or something that is fairly easy to discover by going to
Wikipedia. To read the book, yeah.
Yeah, you go to Wikipedia, there it is, and they go, spoiler, how could you do this to us? You've ruined it. You
know. I know. I hate that so much, spoiler whiners.
And people are so...
I understand in some cases it's a big deal, you know, but... Mm-hmm. Most of the time, in my case, I'd rather know than not know. I don't mind spoilers in the least bit. But,
right.
Okay, so did you turn it off?